chapter number 4. I thank God for the opportunity to be standing in this pulpit, to be standing in this church. I passed by this church for pretty much all my life. My mother's a teacher out at West Caldwell, and we live over here in Baton, and we come by this way. We take Calico Road to West Caldwell all the time in the summertime when we go over there for work days, and when we go to school with her, and pass by this place all the time. And never knew what was sitting inside of it. Never knew the heart of the people that was sitting inside of it. See, my entire life, I've never went to church, but always, you know, devil does a good job of making you see church people as hypocrites when you're lost. But, you know, I found that not to be the truth. There's some hypocrites in church, but you're going to have hypocrites everywhere you go. I mean, you got them at Walmart. What's stopping you from going there? I mean, amen. They're going to be everywhere you're going to go. Just face the fact that no matter where you go, but they ain't going to be in heaven. Amen. There'll be no hypocrites in heaven. But Brother Max asked me to share my testimony, and that's what I'm going to do. So the Bible says in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 10, "And be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So, Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God again, Lord. God, we thank you, Father, for this time and place, God, and this year of 2024, God. We thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us thus far this year, God, and in our lives, God. And we're forever indebted to you, God, for what you've done for us on that cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, Lord. And God, I'm praying, Lord, that each and every heart and mind and soul inside of this church might be touched tonight, God. God, that you might bring us to remembrance of what you've done in our hearts and our minds, God. I'm praying, Lord, every single person that might watch this via the live stream, God, I'm praying, my God, you might smote their heart also, Lord. God, touch them in a mighty way, Lord. And God, may these words that you put inside of my heart and my mind, God, may they touch people, God. May they edify your saints, Lord. May they raise us up and make us stronger people, God. May we never cease to forget what you've done for us, God. God, how your hands guided our entire life, God. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, God. I love you tonight, Lord, and I thank you, God. I'm forever indebted for you, God. I pray you be with my precious wife, God, as she lays at home, God. I pray you touch her in a mighty way, God. God, bless these precious women, Lord, that labor and pray in this church, God, the ones that cook this food tonight, Lord. I pray, my God, you'd bless them in a mighty way, God. God, you touch the laborers inside of this church, Lord. God, those grandparents, those mothers, those fathers, God, God, that's counting on you, Lord. God, that's believing big things for you, God. I'm praying, my God, they might see their prayers, God, come to fruition, Lord. God, you bless them mightily, Lord. Touch every heart, mind, and soul, Lord. God, be with Brother Heath tonight, Lord, as he preaches out there, God. God, touch Brother Daniel wherever he's at. God, breathe upon him, Lord. How we thank you for him, Lord. And I thank you for this church, God. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. There's one thing about this church. There's praying liberty in here. I believe a man can just pray all night up here. One thing about Brother Daniel he's got me to realize is that you got to take your entire life and then before your life into play whenever you're telling your testimony or whenever you're looking at your life and what all God has done and all the pieces that God had to get together to get you to where you're at today. It's absolutely amazing when you sit there and ponder on those things of how big God will start swelling up in your life. And so many Christians walk around and they don't ever ponder on the past, like all the things it took to get them to where they're at. And usually that's the ones that never grow spiritually. But I beg of you, if you're one of those, do it. Ponder on those things. Man, God will begin to get big in your life. But I guess I'll start back. My mother was born in Germany. So my grandfather was in the army. And my on her side, I'll start with her side. Her mother and her father are from West Virginia. And they're from a coal mining town. They're from Logan, West Virginia. On my Nana's side, I got kin to the Hatfields. So talk about a generational sin broke right there somewhere. Because, amen, because that was a pretty rough bunch, if all y'all know that story. But so God's hand and all that getting me here where I'm at today, getting them to settle in Boone and Todd, North Carolina. That's where my grandparents live. My grandfather passed on, but that's where my nana still lives. But all of God's hand just to God through all that. They lived in Oklahoma. They've been through several tornadoes. They was in there during that Tornado Alley time, during that season, and just the things that God's delivered them from to get them to Todd, which inevitably would lead to me. Obviously, that's my mother. But on my father's side, his parents, they were raised in church. They were raised in Lenore, by fact. He was my father from Greenway Street, right over here. And it's where I was raised, same street. But my grandparents, my grandma went to, is it Whitnall First Baptist Church? Central Baptist Church, that's it. She went to Central, and my grandfather went there also. And so they were raised in Caldwell County. But God's hand in all this, I'll just start with, I was born in March of 97, March of 6, 1997. And it's a big year for me, obviously. It's a big year for some of y'all inside of this church. I know some of y'all were saved in March of 97. Amen. But so March of 97, I was born, I was conceived. And born in Caldwell County. And raised my entire life. You know, we didn't go to church. I went a few times with my grandparents that lived down here, but I was never really raised in church. I didn't read the Bible at all, and I'm not blaming. There's some things I might say that some people may take it the wrong way, but I don't mean it no bad way. But I was never raised. I don't blame my parents for not raising me in church. God's hand was in that also, and I know that might be strange for some of y'all, but the church I would have went to probably more than likely would have went to was full of a bunch of hypocrisy. It was backbiting, it was gossiping, and it probably would not have been a great foundation to be under. And it's just a sad state of some of the churches, but it's just the way it is. It's just how it is. But so my entire life, I was not raised in church. I was secular my entire life. But God's hand in all this is just, it gets bigger to me every single day how no matter what I'd done. So there was a movie that I watched. And I don't encourage you to watch it because it's got some bad things in it. But it's called Shooter. And it's got Mark Wahlberg in it. And the whole entire thing is the government turns on him. And they go crooked and they turn on him and try to accuse him of killing us, of trying to assassinate this Archbishop of Ethiopia, I think it is, or something like that. But the whole thing was God used that movie to rip the foundation of trust out from under me. I could not trust in the government. He showed me that through that I could not trust in anything. He would not let me put trust in anything. And I have no idea until I got saved why he had me like that, why he had me where I could not. I didn't trust my own parents. I didn't trust no one. There was nothing I could trust. There absolutely nothing. I walked through this world trying to find something for 24 years and could not find it at all, at all. But there's also another significant event in my life. Me and my father were fishing, bass fishing, and there was a Yamaha Wave Runner, which is like a Ski-Doo type of thing. And he looked at it, and he was describing it, and he was like, oh, it's a Yamaha Wave Runner 1000 and all this right here. And I know my dad, he ain't ever been on one. I looked at him, and I kind of called him out. I said, you're full of it. He busted out laughing. But God used that to, again, rip the foundation of trust out from under me. Because ever since then, I wouldn't trust my dad in what he said, so I couldn't trust them. I couldn't trust no one. I'm getting somewhere with this. But through all these life stories and everything, for some reason, I know now, but it's all God, but I always wanted a good wife. And I knew in this world that, I mean, you can't trust no one as far as you can throw them. You can't. Everyone's two-faced just about. I mean, not everyone, but the way God made it to me, everyone was two-faced. The way I perceived that everyone was two-faced, I couldn't trust no one. I couldn't trust a woman to be faithful. I couldn't trust anything. So I went through my entire life. And also on top of this, you got to remember that I got to know God. I've never read the Bible. I don't know His commandments. I don't know anything. But for some reason, I knew that God wanted us to keep our virginity until marriage. So I trusted in God. I literally trusted in God when I was lost. For God to find, because it was bigger than me. I didn't know. I figured God would lead me to the right person. And I trusted Him, even when I was lost, to lead me in the right direction And I have no idea why. I mean, I do, because Romans chapter number 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." So that's the lost he's talking about there. God's manifest inside of them. We look around and we see God. Whenever we had an almost accident, whenever I was lost, you'd always say, "Thank God." Every time I shot a deer, I'd pray over it, not knowing who I was praying to, but I'd thank God for the deer that I had, for the harvest that I took, for the meat that I had, for that He provided. No matter what, natural man knows that there's a God in heaven above. They can deny all they want to, but I'm telling you, I know most of y'all was probably raised in church, and y'all raised around it. But let me just reassure you that those that are not raised in church still know that there's a God. I knew that there was a God my entire life, but I had the missing link. Every man's and woman's born with a sense of knowledge of God, but they have the missing link, which is Christ. And that's our job, to take Christ to them. I know that now. I did not know that before. I knew no matter what I'd done, I could not get to God until I knew about Christ first. But I was raised out of church, didn't know anything. I've only been saved 3 years, by the way. But I never really seemed to fit in anywhere. And I never really knew that, but I know now. I know now why I never really fit in anywhere, because my place was to be a preacher. My calling would later to be a preacher. And I've heard several other testimonies of men that just never really fit in. But I never could really fit in. I tried to hang out with kids, but it wouldn't ever. I mean, I seen just the foolishness of that stuff and what they done, and I didn't want to fall down that route. And I've drank beer here and there and alcohol, but I never really done it as like a hobby thing, as like a fun thing or anything. But I never really fit into no one. But God never would let me build any foundation on anything, never let me trust anything. I know a lot of people, they build a foundation on their works. I don't know how lost people do it. I have no idea how people that's lost do it. What do they stand on? Do they merit it on their works? Do they say, "As long as I got a good job, I can provide for my family, I can do everything"? I don't understand. He never would let me get a solid foundation inside of my life. When I was 18, I went to work for a company named Air Systems. I work there today, but I worked on the road. So I never could solidify anything. I was gone probably 10 months out of the year. I never could. I never did move out of home. There was no point. I was only here for a little bit and gone. But there was still nothing solid in my life. God would use that, again, not to let me solidify anything in my life. And I go through life searching for something, not knowing what it was. And the madman of Gadara, it says that no man could bind him or could tame him. He'd keep going in the town, and they'd try to bind him, and they couldn't bind him. And they try to tame him, but they couldn't tame him. And I pondered on that scripture, and there's two meanings of that bind. Bind is to bind by chains or to hold together, like you bind pages together in a book, or you bind meatloaf together with oatmeal, whatever you want to use, crackers, whatever the case may be. He was searching for something to bind his soul, to hold it together. It was a mess. His life was a wreck. And he was searching for something. He'd go back into town, being a madman that he was, searching for something to bind him. But no matter what he sought, no counseling, nothing could ever fix what was wrong inside of him. And it takes me to a point in my life to where about every 6 months to a year, I would end up balled up and clenched up in a ball, crying on my knees, wondering what in the world's the point in life. What's the purpose to this thing? What is the point to life? What's the point in being here? There's no hope in nothing. There's absolutely no hope in nothing. I was broke long before I ever went to church. God had done broke me. God had done ripped the foundations out from under me, and I had no idea, but He had done all this long before I ever stepped foot inside of a church. Which leads me to whenever I first went to church. You see, I got a brother and a sister who's been in church for a while. They've been saved since 2016, 2017, 2015. I think 2016, my brother-in-law, and I think my sister was 2015. I'm not sure, but somewhere in there. But they had went to church, and they've been praying for me. They never really seen God move in my life. And it's because they had sin in their life. See, I've done things with them when they were saved. But the whole thing is God never moved in my life till they got their life clean. Listen, if you're watching by way of live, if you're here tonight and God won't move in those people's lives and in your life, It may be because you got some things in your life and you know if you do or not, but chunk those things out and you'll see God move. But God would never move in my life until they got their life clean. It's part of my testimony. But they would invite me on a snow tubing trip and I would go on March the 6th, which is my birthday, March the 6th of 2021. The church had a snow tubing trip. I got nothing else to do. It's my birthday. I mean, I got no friends. I'm not, you know, hanging out with no one. So yeah, I'll go. So we went up there and I went snow tubing. I had a good time. And these church people that I would always think was hypocrites, I would learn that they were not hypocrites. One of the biggest testimonies that a church can have is having the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. And whenever lost sinners walk through that door, man, all they need is love. All they need is love. They don't need someone pointing down their throat preaching about holy jeans, pointing down their throat preaching about sin this, sin that. They don't need that. They need the love of God shed abroad in y'all's hearts. In y'all's hearts. I know it's different for a preacher. A preacher can stand up here and preach on sin. That's anointed for God. He stands up here and preaches on those things, and God uses it to correct saints of God. But as far as from the congregation, man, if I'd have walked in there and they'd have said, "Who in the world is this?" They'd have shunned me. They'd have looked away. They'd have said, "Well, I'm holier than thou. I got no sin in my life. He's got sin in his life. I don't know who he is." You'd have felt alienated. Yeah, I was already alienated. I'd have felt alienated even more. I'd have walked out of those doors and I'd have probably never come back. I'd have never come back. But the whole thing is, listen, lost sinners need the love of God shed abroad in saints' hearts. They need it. But whenever I met those people on that day, I found the love of God shed abroad in people's hearts. I found it. I seen it. So it would lead me to go to church. And I go to church for the first time since I was probably 4 years old the last time I've been in the church. And I slept every time I went to church or crawled under the pews. I never paid attention. But I would go to church for the first time on March the 7th, 2021. Was when I would go to the church the first time in my life since all those years ago. But I sat in service, and there was a girl there also that I liked that helped too. But I sat in service, and you know, God never really spoke to me in any way. But on March the 14th of 2021, God told my pastor to preach a message, and I don't even know the title of it, but he had a heart-shaped cutout, and he had a hole in that heart cut out, a perfect circle, and the circle had Jesus on it. But he had cars, he had beer, he had cigarettes, he had tobacco, he had everything, boats, and he tried to fit them in that hole, and not one thing could fill that hole in that heart. See, every person's born with a hole in their heart, and only Jesus can fill it. A God-sized hole that only the Lord can fill. And it was through that message. That cutout, he had a cutout of Jesus that fit perfect. And he put it in there, and that's when God, I looked over at my wife now, and I said, "That hit hard." I was tearing up. I was trying to hold it back, but I was tearing up, and I said, "That hit hard." So I went back to work Monday. Tuesday came. Tuesday night, I was like, "Well, let's see what this stuff is all about. I got nothing else to do." So I cut on YouTube. And I typed in Bible. I didn't know where to begin, so I just started it. And luckily, King James Version came up. Amen. But I didn't know where to begin, so I just started at Genesis. I knew that was the beginning. And those words read, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." And man, God smote my heart just like that. Laying on that couch, I started bawling my eyes out. I repented of everything I had done. God started bringing back to my remembrance all these things I'd done. And I cried my heart out to God. I rolled around on that floor, and I called Gabby, she's my wife now, and I said, "I don't want to go to hell." I said, "I don't know what to do, but I don't want to go to hell." I was crying when I said it. I said, "I don't want to go to hell. I don't know what to do." She said, "Well, I think you need to talk to your sister." And then I didn't talk to her and didn't talk to no one, but I come to church the next day. Man, that whole entire day, good Lord, he was ringing me out. I kept shaded safety glasses on working down at, I can't remember where it was, somewhere in Taylorsville. I had shaded safety glasses on. I was crying the entire day. I'm telling you, when God's on your trail, you cannot get away, and you'll know it when He's on you. You'll know it when He's on you. I see some young kids in here tonight. You just be patient. When He gets on you, you'll know it, and you accept Him when He's on you. When He calls you, you accept Him. But He was on my trail hot and heavy. He wrung me out, man. I could not stop crying that entire day. I couldn't stop crying, Brother Bradley. I didn't know why. I had no idea why I was crying, but I get to church that night. And I beat everyone in the church that night. I had to get something settled in my heart. I had no idea what it was. I had to get something settled. And I beat everyone in the church. And then our deacon pulled in named Albert. Then Pastor Brent pulled in. Then Brother Bradley pulled in. And they walked up there and got on the balcony, and they was looking out over, hanging over the handrail, and I walked up to them, and Pastor looked, I can't remember how it went. Pastor looked at me and said, "That was a good message Sunday," something like that. I said, "Yeah, that's what I come to talk to. I want to talk to you about that." And he said, "I figured you might. I figured my sister done teed him off, or the Lord warned, done told him I was going to come." No, but God's been good. We went back in the pastor's office, and God saved me there. And I tell you what, I don't remember much of it. I remember the change that was inside of my heart, but I don't remember much of what he said, and much of what Bradley said, or much of what Brother Albert said, or much of what happened directly after that. And I didn't pray nothing. There was no verbal words that come out of my mouth. Make no mistake. I took everything inside of me and surrendered it to God. I said, "I've tried everything else. Here I am. Just, I'll trust in you. You showed me you. I trust in you. This is it." And that's when God changed my heart. I stepped out of that pastor's office and I turned, and there was Brother Ian Kirby. Preacher Ian Kirby was sitting laying on the ground crying. I looked at him, I said, "It's all right." I turned and looked at him and said, "It's all right. It's going to be all right." And I walked out of there and he gave me that heart shake cut out, and he put it up there, and it's in my office. I got it hung up in my office. But the Lord just reminded me of something. We worked at Craftmasters Wood Product down in Taylorsville one time. I believe it was 2016. And Brother Luke, you worked down there during that time. And we was installing this system, this Torrent and Day filtration system. It would suck the dust off the wood whenever they would work it. And we was there one day, and I was kneeled over this pump, this high pressure pump, and we was fixing it, installing it, and all I hear was heads bottle jack, and I hear something hit a pot, and all I did was, so I ducked back like that and put my hands over my head, and that bottle jack, a 12 ton bottle jack, which is about 25 pounds, landed on my boss's foot right where my head was, right over top of. God spared my life that day. That's not the only time He spared my life, but He spared my life that day when I was lost. And the reason I bring it up is because I don't know if you remember, but there might have been a morning that you come in. You might have come in that morning and prayed over that place that day, Brother Luke. I don't know. But somebody's prayers was answered that day, because I'm still standing today. I have no idea how that happened. It's by the grace of God. Yes, it's by the grace of God. Yes, it's by the grace of God. But later in my life, well, shortly, soon after, in the summer of 2021, God would begin to deal with my heart about preaching. And I remember distinctively driving down the road, coming back from church one afternoon, and just the word "preach" kept ringing in my mind. Preach, 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 preach. Kept ringing, kept ringing, kept ringing, kept ringing, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I remember I did not cut down my road. I kept driving. I probably drive for another hour just talking to God. Just talking to God. God working in my heart. God moving in my heart. And I'll never forget it. It was the first time Mount Victory, the first Mount Victory was up there. We was going up and down about every single night. And that second week of Mount Victory was when I answered the call to preach on the way up the mountain. We was driving up the mountain. Me, Pastor, and Pastor David Woods was driving up the mountain. And we was up about the upper acre sign on 181. And that's when God said, it's now. He called me again. I said, "I figured I'd do it up there on the mountain." I said, "Lord, are you going to call me up there on the mountain? I'll just wait till we get up there." No, I wasn't waiting until we got up there. I done it right on the road right there. Pouring the rain down. I was squalling tires going through the curves. Yeah. David Woods was looking at me like, "What in the world's wrong with this young man?" I seen him look back at Pastor Brent. And I seen Brent in the mirror go, "Going on." God was dealing with my heart. He was dealing with my heart. And I answered the call to preach. And after that, there was some happy boys inside of that truck. There was some happy men. And I praise God for what He's done in my life. He's guided my entire life and kept me from so much things. He's kept me from so much sin in this world. I have no idea. I have no idea. I've been raised around, and this is no knock to my mother, but she's a college educated woman, and she believes in evolution. But how God kept me from all this stuff, I have no idea. It's by the grace of God. I have no idea how none of this stuff, I didn't build any of my life upon it. It was a foundation that was not there. I have no idea how God, only by God's grace and by His hand, did He keep me from all these things. But I praise God for what He's done. He's been good to me. He's been great to me. He's been far better than I could ever deserve. I'm telling you tonight, from a person that stood outside of the church world and looked in and stood outside, had no idea. People out there, they need Christ. They don't have that missing link. They're searching for something. And the biggest thing we can do is have the love of God shed abroad. The Bible says, Christ Himself said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. When you have this commandment nailed down in your life, everything else will follow. And you'll have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. And you'll see lost sinners, the people you work with, the people you see in the store. If you obey the Spirit, like your pastor's been preaching, if you obey the Spirit, He'll tell you to go talk to someone inside of Walmart. It ain't going to be every single time you walk in Walmart, you'll come to learn this. But He'll tell you to go talk to someone and you'll be obedient. They needed that. He's never led me astray. He's never ever left me nor forsaken me. Whenever He tells me to do these things and I do them, He always fuels my spirit. He gives me the words to say even when I don't know what to say. He does the things inside of my heart and mind. Man, He just live a spirit-filled life that cannot be stressed enough. It cannot be stressed enough. But I praise God for what He's done, man. Another date inside of my life, well, I don't really know the date, but man, I seen God all over Brother Heath Williams. God all over him, and I'm like, I got to get whatever he's got. He's got something I don't have. Like, what's he got? And I was saved, and I was called to preach, but what he got, what's he got? And he mentioned this thing called Myrtle. And man, God drilled that inside of me. And I said, I got to get to Myrtle. He put that inside of my heart. Brother Luke said, don't press people. He said, God's got to work that inside of your heart. And man, God worked that inside of my heart immediately. And I knew I had to get down there. And I contacted Brother Heath, and I pled with him, and there was space open for me. Amen. And I got down there, and man, that changed my life forever. Amen. And your pastors taught me how to pray. That's like the biggest thing I could ever stress inside of somebody. Is ask God to teach you how to pray. And He'll lead you to men that can pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, He taught me how to pray. This church, you have no idea. I'm forever indebted to this church and my pastor and my church for being spirit-led, for having the love of God shed abroad in y'all's hearts. You have no idea, man. God led me to a Holy Ghost man of God. And God told him what message to preach, and he obeyed God. I thank you, Pastor, from the bottom of my heart. You got no idea. No idea what you mean to me. Brother Bradley, you got no idea what you mean to me. The love that y'all showed me. And all I needed was love. And the love that they showed me. The love that this church has shown me. Prayers y'all prayed for me and you don't even know me. You hardly know me. I thank God. I thank God that God still wants to work in this world. That God still wants to work in 2024. And I used to walk around this world. I used to think that the only way to fix it would be with a gun. Be with the people rising back up and taking this country back over. But after I got saved, after the love of God got put inside of my heart, I saw it different. The only thing that'll change this world is another great awakening, is a spiritual awakening inside of this nation. The only way that's going to come, God said, is that if His people repent and turn from their wicked ways and seek His face, then He'll hear them and He'll hear them from heaven and He'll heal their lands. That's the only thing it'll take. It takes us inside of this church tonight. It takes you watching on live stream, if you're saved by the grace of God, to seek the face of God, repent of your wicked ways, and seek His face, and pray, and pray, and pray, and labor for lost people to be saved, and labor for, beg for God to send another awakening. And we're desperate. We're desperate people. That church of Laodicea, we're in the Laodicean church age, are we not? Amen. That church of Laodicea, they're rich and increased with goods, and they hath need of nothing. I'm rich and increased with goods, but I hath need of one thing. Listen, our churches are rich and increased with goods, but we hath need of one thing, and that's the Spirit of God. That's the grace of God. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one. We need him. We've got to have his power back in our churches. We've got to have his power in the community. We've got to have a spirit-filled life. We need his spirit. We have need of one thing tonight, and that's the Lord thy God. That's the Lord thy God. We got to have him. We can't do it without him. We cannot do it without him. I thought I could do it by my works. Listen, I held tight to my virginity. I thought, Lord God, everybody out here sleeping with everybody, if I just keep my virginity, then you'll surely, that's good. You honor that. You'll let me into heaven. Foundation was ripped out from under me. It was not good enough. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You gotta have a transformation inside of your heart and your mind. There's got to be a day you can go back to that you know that God did, there's not one thing that you could do, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works. That you know you knelt down or you stood up or you done it, wherever you done it. You stood out of the pew and there was a time that something bigger than you came and ripped everything inside of you out. And birthed you into the family of God. And everything became new and the old things passed away. If there's not a date in your life that you've never been transformed by the power of God, then you're lost and you need that transformation. You've got to have it. It's the only way you'll get to heaven. It's the only way you'll get to heaven and have everlasting life. It's the only way you'll escape a devil's hell. It's the only way. You've got to have the transformation, but you've got to be patient and wait on God. When God calls you, you run after him. If you're listening on live stream, if God calls you, you run after him. Don't deny God. He said he'll meet you. There ain't never been a hellbound sinner that ever called on the name of God. That God's been drawing. There ain't never been a hellbound sinner that he ain't never accepted. That he ain't never saved by his grace. There ain't never been one. There ain't never been one. I found that true. I tried him. He showed me the truth. That Bible says, for law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ, came by Jesus. He showed me his grace and he showed me the truth. I was condemned by the law, but he saved me by his grace, his marvelous grace. I hope I never get over it, what he done inside of my heart and my mind. Glory to God. If you ever do get over it, you probably really didn't get it. I don't know how anybody ever gets over it. I don't understand how people come down to an altar and they get saved, but then they get over it. And they go back to the world. God says if you're his, he'll chastise you. There'll be chastisement. He'll correct you. He'll lead you. If he doesn't lead you, if you can go out and willy-nilly sin after you say you've been saved, you're not saved, you've never had it. He says that you're a bastard. You're not of his. But I tell you that out of love of God, because he wants you to realize that you've never had salvation. It's his will that we all come to the knowledge of Christ, the saving knowledge of Christ. And we all get saved. Heaven's created with a specific size from the foundation of the world, fit for every single man to enter in. Only if your name is blotted out do you get cast into hell. Then it says hell hath enlarged itself. Hell has to grow bigger every time a sinner gets cast into it. It's not made for humans. Because of sin. Sin entered into man because of the sin that entered into man. We cannot go to heaven. That's why Christ had to die. The love of God sent Christ to die for us. The love of God don't send people to hell. God don't send people to hell out of hate. It's because he cannot let sin into heaven. You got to understand that. God does not hate anyone. God hates sin. Because of the nature of God, the holiness of God, God said he cannot let filthiness into it, lest it spoil the rest. He cannot let it in. A lost sinner has got to go somewhere. Listen, whoever needs to hear this tonight, God loves you. He'll save you. When he draws you, answer him. Seek the face of God. Glory to God. I love the Lord. And I love each and every one of y'all. I thank God for y'all. Man, God's doing great work in my life. You'll never know what you mean to me. Those men we're going to murder with, you never know what you mean to me if you're watching this. Brother Earl Farley will never know what he means to me. Thank God, who is rich in mercy. With this great love wherewith He loved us, sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. What greater love. What greater love. Brother Max, it's yours.